how can we make sure that the patient, that end user, is deeply resourced and supported, and that the OB provider or the providers that we're making sure are cared for part of that, we're not adding extra administrative work to them or to their nursing team that supports them.
Hello and welcome to the Better Care Podcast, where we tell the stories of clinicians, healthcare leaders, and innovators who are improving the way clinicians work and deliver care. This is the second episode of a two-part series that was recorded live from the Nashville Healthcare Sessions Conference and features multiple guests recorded in about 5 to 7 minute mini interviews. In this part two episode, Evidence Care's president and COO, Amy Deaton, interviews William Hauck of LifePoint Health, Amy Green of Mamaya Health, and Anika Gardenhire of Arden Health. Topics in this one include how to localize healthcare innovation for specific communities, the importance of EHR integrations and interoperability, and helpful leadership lessons in diversity and celebrating failure. Enjoy this special episode live from Nashville Healthcare Sessions.
Welcome to the Better Care Podcast.
Thank you, Amy.
William, will you introduce yourself?
So my name is William Hauck, and I am the division president for the central division with LifePoint. And the central division is acute care hospitals, and I operate or have the pleasure of working with 22 hospitals in 5 states.
Fantastic. Thanks for being here today. So we're here at the Nashville Healthcare Sessions Conference, and I'm going to start with a fun one. So these are long days to be at the conference, lots of networking, lots of learning sessions. What's your go-to coffee order to keep you energized during these long days?
Go-to coffee order. When I'm up here, I drink the hot coffee, and if I can, honestly, you know what I like to do? I like to step away, walk outside, and go somewhere else and order a cold brew, and then take like 30, 45 minutes to myself, walk around, and gather my thoughts.
Recharge. So you can network some more. All right. So as a hospital operator for a large health system, if you could fast forward 5 years, what's one major change you hope to see in how large health systems operate?
So a little bit about my background. I am from small town, and a lot of my hospitals are sole community hospital providers. So we are the hospital provider. You know, one thing that we have seen is, you know, over the years, large health systems have continued to grow. But one area that's really special to me or important to me is rural healthcare and keeping healthcare in the community. And so fast forward 5 years, we have seen a trend where large systems have gobbled up smaller hospitals or smaller players and had more of a hub and spoke approach. And I agree, that's necessary. That's necessary, especially on the high acuity stuff. If I could see something different going forward is more intentionality around keeping healthcare local and keeping appropriate healthcare in the community. Now, again, that's in an ideal world. Now, that's going to be very hard. That's resource intensive. And you look at the labor crisis and the shortages facing rural America, it's going to be a challenge. But there's also going to be technology that comes along to help us do that.
Absolutely. I definitely hear rural health as a theme throughout this conference. So that is right on point. So here's another question for you, William. For other healthcare leaders aspiring to be like you as an executive, what advice would you give to other healthcare leaders looking to drive innovation within their own organizations?
So driving innovation, this is coming from a guy that's been with the same company for 18 years and hospital operator. And, you know, you and I have a history together, and I kind of say I'm the dinosaur in the room. But I think when it comes to innovation, me personally, what I've experienced is being open-minded, kind of easier said than done, but being open-minded. And then also, I think it's really important as leaders to set people up to succeed and also create that environment where people can innovate, where people... To me, a big part of innovation is failing.
Sure.
And I think one of the things that I've tried to do over my career is learn, like, you need to create an environment where people fail. And when they do fail, like, you celebrate it. It's almost like you celebrate as much as the successes, because we've all failed before. And we kind of think we're not going to go do that again. But if you can celebrate it and really build the momentum, the positivity around it, and know that we're going to learn from this and get better, I think that's the most important thing that we can do. That's something I try to do with my hospitals. Like, it's okay to fail and create that environment where you feel comfortable failing.
I agree. I think that breeds innovation, right? If you have a culture of the fail fast, you can learn from it, move on. So I love that.
I think it's easier said than done.
For sure.
Definitely
for
sure. Easier said. I mean, kind of through the years, I find that I think I'm creating that specific environment. And if I actually step back and take feedback from other people, they're like, no, you really haven't. Your body language said this, your demeanor said something different, or the way that you said, your tone or inflection. So I think it's for me, and I think for a lot of leaders, you got to be intentional about it.
Sure. I mean, as a hospital operator too, I can imagine there's pressures, right? You still have to service the communities. You still have to do your day to day. And so having that environment to fail fast isn't always easy.
Right. So. Right.
What's the healthcare buzzword you've heard most at the conference, and what does it mean to you?
AI. I mean, my gosh, I'm so tired of that word. What does it mean for me? I know it's important. I know it's going to do something big in the future. I think what I'm struggling with now with AI is, I guess it's been, I don't know, it's been around for a while, but it's been a buzzword the past year, year and a half, and really have not seen any real world applications. I do think the future is bright for it, but I would say AI is definitely the buzzword.
Do you know of any use cases right now that are being explored with your health system?
The ambient listening. You know, for me, one area that I would like to see happen is more on the kind of in y'all's realm, using AI to really comb through the chart and do what I call capture the clinical truth. And from a hospital perspective, I think it's very important that we capture the clinical truth so that we have all those public measures that we have to report. And a lot of times the information's in the EMR, but we may miss it. So having AI help us scrub that, but at the same time, from a revenue cycle charge capture perspective, making sure that we're capturing all the care that we deliver, that we capture, and it's reflected in the bill that we send out. So if our case, you know, if you come in and a patient has a case mix of 1.2 and AI can help you get that 1.2 to a 1.25 or 1.3, I think there's great value there. And then also that's going to help you on the public reporting measures too, making sure that you're reporting out actually what happened to the patient while they were in your care.
That's great. That's a really good use case. Thanks so much for joining us today,
thank you so much,
William.
Amy. Appreciate
Glad to have you on the podcast. Welcome to the Better Care Podcast.
Hey, Amy.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for joining me today. Amy, would you mind introducing yourself for our audience?
Of course, Amy. I'd be happy to. So my name's Amy Green, and I'm the founder and CEO of Mamaya Health. We provide women mental health care, virtual mental health care from menstruation to menopause to make sure that our needs are met specifically throughout our life season and that we can provide specialized care.
Wonderful. Good. I'm so thrilled to have you on the show today and to learn more about your insights. So let's start off with a fun one. So we're here recording at the Nashville Healthcare Sessions Conference downtown. And these are long days, lots of networking, lots of sessions, lots of learning. What's your go-to caffeine order to keep you energized during these long conference days?
It's embarrassing because everybody knows it. It's been the same thing since undergrad.
Share it with the world.
It is an iced Trenta green tea that's unsweetened from Starbucks. Times two. On the regular, every day. It has to happen.
So let's switch to what's going on here at the conference. There's a lot of chatter, a lot of discussion. What do you think will be the biggest change or trend in healthcare over the next decade?
My hope would be integration. So I would love to see where our EHR systems can talk, and because they're able to talk, that we're able to integrate and collaborate and care easier, better, quicker, and more efficiently. And because of that, also then we have a more holistic and whole person approach, understanding of the data, the outcomes, and the implications of the treatments that they receive, and then how people perform or do because of all the care that's embedded in their life.
Talk a little bit about some of the challenges you see today in the work that you're doing in behavioral health related to the lack of integration.
Gosh, I mean, what isn't a challenge in lack of integration? I think some of the biggest points, I think, for me, especially as we are looking at our 2025 strategy right now, integrated care is a big part of that. And trying to figure out unique provider workflows and then how we build into those workflows is a barrier because they might be in a completely different EHR system than what we're in, and those things matter, right? So Absolutely. Then we're building within their EHR system, but also trying to do that in a way that's the least disruptive to their current workflows, that doesn't add administrative, like right. so on and so forth, but still trying to solve the problem of how do we integrate care well, and how can we make sure that the patient, that end user, is deeply resourced and supported, and that the OB provider or the providers that we're making sure are cared for part of that, we're not adding extra administrative work to them or to their nursing team that supports them.
Right. I think a lot of times people think about technology implementation and forget to think about the workflow. And I think that's, you can't decouple either one of those.
Not even a little bit.
What's one key insight or idea that you've taken away from sessions so far?
I attended the breakfast yesterday with WBL. That was really good. I really enjoyed learning from Kathy, was their moderator, and we talked a lot about just board diversity and making sure that people have seats at the table, and how do you fill a board well and then make sure that it's representative of the communities that the companies might serve. And Bobby Friss was talking to this like generational challenge of making sure that there's people in the pipeline for generations to come that would be able to sit in the board and to advise, which from a high level, most often we look at board seats as being past CEOs. And so it means that we need CEOs who are also diverse in background and ethnicity and race and gender and all of that, so that we have a solid pool to pick from and pull from when that time comes. And so it just was thought provoking to me as I think about, again, where we're heading and how I can make sure that the people that we're setting up around us right now to advise and guide us and support us are both representative of our communities, add value, but also have the expertise that we need. And those three are not always in the same boat. And so how can you continue then to hold accountable your recruitment teams or diversified search groups or whatever, so that they can go back and continue to pull from different pools, so that you can make sure that if it's not the correct person, then they're going back and they're finding the correct people that are representative, inclusive.
You know, I really appreciate the intentionality that you are putting into making sure that you have diverse perspectives around the table, because I do think it makes a difference in your success, how we deliver for our patients. And so thank you for that.
Where innovation comes from.
Absolutely.
Like if we don't think differently, we're not going to be challenged, right? And so I think so much of how we can make sure that care is delivered well includes being innovative and having different people at the table to get out of the way that we've always done something, because the way that we've always done something is probably not how we're going to be able to deliver it well in the future.
That's right. Avoid the echo chamber, if you will.
Yeah.
So final question for you, Amy. If you could wave a magic wand, what's one thing you would change about how we approach maternal mental health or behavioral health in general?
I think I'll go back to integrated care. I think just being able to have providers who understand the implications of mental health on somebody's physical health and how those are just so embedded, and that in attending to someone's mental health, doing universal screenings, adding things again into workflows that are easy lifts, but also allow us to flag and screen and then refer people to appropriate care, that we can support the whole person well. And by doing that, we are giving a really good opportunity to have better population health outcomes, that we're giving that person a different experience through whatever it is that they're, whether it's a pregnancy or postpartum, or if it's menopause or perimenopause, that we're giving that woman a uniquely different experience than what they could otherwise have. And that ripples into everybody's life, right? That woman goes back as a whole person and can then attend to the kids or the parents or the partners or the whatever that she's taking care of differently because she's supported and resourced.
Absolutely. I so appreciate your insights and your mission. So thank you so much for being here today, Amy.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Better Care Podcast. Thanks for joining us today, Anika. Would you mind introducing yourself to the audience?
Sure. My name is Anika Garden-Hire, and I am the Chief Digital and Information Officer at Ardent Healthcare.
Great. Thanks for joining us. So I'll start with a fun question. So we are recording here in Nashville at the Nashville Healthcare Sessions Conference downtown. And I know these are long days, lots of networking. What's your go-to caffeine order to keep you energized during these long conferences? Or what do you do to recharge in between sessions?
Mostly, I try to take as many breaks as possible. So I don't necessarily do a lot of caffeine. I actually walk around with a water bottle and there's water in there. but I will say, like, when I need a pick-me-up, I'm actually not a coffee drinker. My go-to caffeine order is Mountain Dew, which I know is horrid, but I go for broke. If I have to go, I'm going all the way.
Go big or go home. So I love that. Thanks for sharing. So like I mentioned, there's lots of networking. Let's start here. What's been the biggest takeaway from networking here at the Sessions Conference?
Well, one is literally a little bit of everybody lives in Nashville, and that is pretty cool. I feel like I, as a person who recently moved to the city, it's been amazing to meet people who live here, who are from here, who are moving here, or to have connections just to the geography. And then the other thing that I would say is just the number of people who are genuinely trying to get it right for patients is always the key takeaway for me at the end of the day. I'm a nurse. I went to nursing school on purpose, and I want to see better healthcare and healthcare access for everyone and overall better health. And so for me, it's always fascinating getting to network with people who are just genuinely in it to win it for trying to get it right for people.
I agree. I mean, every facet of the industry is represented, and I'm seeing a lot of mission-driven, value-driven, right. And I love that because that makes us successful. Absolutely. So what do you think will be the biggest change or trend in healthcare over the next decade? What have you been hearing?
Well, you know, I'm always fascinated by, like, the war of the AI bots, right? And so everybody's talking about that. But for me, I hope that the end game is that war actually forces us to ask some really tough questions. And so everybody's sort of talking about that fight between payers and providers and, you know, the fight, right, that's happening sort of maybe with PBMs and payers and, like, all of those things coming to a head. But at the end of the day, what it really means is you've got to train models on something. You have to teach the algorithms. You have to actually make a workflow. You have to figure out who should always have the rights to make what decisions. You have to do governance in order to put things, quote unquote, into the bot. And so what I'm hoping is that the bots create sort of candor and radical transparency and makes us answer some really tough questions.
Good answer. I love that. So let's stick with AI. So AI and cybersecurity have been hot topics here at the conference. What role do you think emerging technologies in these areas will play in improving patient care and operational efficiencies? Are there certain use cases that you're working on or want to share at your health system?
Sure. I mean, you know, the biggest thing that we are grappling with, of course, is access. We're all grappling with, you know, social determinants. And for me, that connection to the community. So what I'm hoping for is seeing the very practical realities, right? Creating connection to community, creating things like a closed loop referral, being able to manage through what will be a really intense issue around staffing for healthcare, whether it be nursing or providers or broader sort of allied services, and what we can do to extend what humans can deliver from a healthcare perspective. And so I really think that these technologies have the opportunity to be transformative as long as they're real.
Right.
And so I think we're going to see a lot of sort of the proof is in the pudding over the next several years. And so at the end of the day, what I'm looking for is understanding, like, what solutions are really going to win the day, which ones are going to be scalable, and how do we get to maximal impact?
Right. How do you bring that from the lab into the real world?
Absolutely.
We shall see. So also at the conference, we're seeing all sorts of experience in terms of folks just starting out in the industry, very seasoned executives. What advice would you give to other healthcare leaders looking to drive innovation or to become similar to you in your CDIO role within your organization?
You know, I think the biggest thing for me is it's almost like see a pebble, pick it up. Like, if you see a problem, right, identify the problem, be really crystal clear about what that is, and really try to solve it. So whether it's applied innovation, right, new solutions, new workflow, however that looks, or you're looking to grow, you know, I had a really great piece of advice early in my career, and it was the easiest way to get promoted is to be really good at the job you have. And so being really good at the job you have, solving real problems, and then making sure that you're also in parallel spending some time understanding what's happening around you and understanding where there are other opportunities to solve big problems and sort of raising your hand for that.
I love that pearl of advice. Solve the problems right in front of you, but anticipate what other problems might be coming around the corner. Well, I so appreciate the time you're spending with us on the podcast today and sharing your insights, Anika.
Thank you for having me.
Continuing the conversation.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Better Care Podcast. To ensure you never miss an episode, we encourage you to subscribe to the podcast on your preferred platform. Additionally, your ratings and reviews are invaluable in helping us reach a wider audience. Please consider leaving a review, and if you do, email us a screenshot at marketing@evidence.care, and we'll send you a thank you gift. For access to exclusive content and further healthcare insights created by Evidence Care, please visit evidence.care/bettercarepodcast and subscribe to our email list. We appreciate your support and look forward to connecting soon.